We're off now to explore beyond the headlines in the company of Peter Dykstra. He's the publisher of Environmental Health News, that's EHN.org, and the Daily Climate.org, and our perennial guide to telling stories that shouldn't be missed. He's on the line now from Conyers, Georgia. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Steve. One of the nicknames they give to the state of Maryland is the land of pleasant living, and the Chesapeake Bay is one of the reasons it's always been pleasant. But we've known for decades that the bay is in trouble from industrial pollution and farm runoff, from urban growth, and a whole list of other things. Well, Daryl Fears of the Washington Post found a little good news for the bay. Sturgeon are coming back.
Well, covering the environment, we never turn away good news, so tell us more.
Atlantic sturgeon are big, majestic, ancient, endangered, and, in my opinion, remarkably ugly, anadromous fish.
Anadromous, meaning they split their time between saltwater and freshwater, which they've been doing for almost, 200 million years?
Right, but pollution and the building of dams have made it hard for sturgeon to get back to their freshwater spawning grounds. Scientists had pretty much given up on finding sturgeon in the Chesapeake, but fishermen said they kept spotting them, and this summer a 5-foot-long sturgeon literally jumped into a boat, inspiring a science safari that netted 8 more sturgeon, giving hope that this big, ugly fish survives in the Chesapeake.
Well, that's a good sign for the bay, but I gather its problems are far from over.
To be sure, there's parts of 6 states that drain their rivers and their farm runoff into the Chesapeake Bay. Its cleanup is still a long way off. The striped bass there may be in decline. The iconic crab and oyster fisheries aren't what they once were. And the combination of sea level rise, erosion, and the fact that the bay's wetlands are naturally sinking is a daunting combination of challenges. But the sturgeon brings us a ray of hope. Are you ready for another fish tale?
Okay, I'll bite.
All right. From the same part of the world, the U.S. East Coast, where the lionfish is taking over. Lionfish are sort of the anti-sturgeon. They're smaller. I think they're really pretty. And instead of an ancient fixture, they're a newcomer.
Yeah, aren't they an invader from the tropics?
The tropics on the other side of the globe, but they've made it to the Atlantic and are friends at the Climate News Network. That's a great nonprofit based in the UK, where they're the other CNN, reported that they're making their way up the Atlantic coast as waters there get warmer. Lionfish are voracious eaters. They tend to nearly wipe out reef fish populations wherever they show up, which now is as far north as the Carolina coast. Lionfish are said to be good to eat, but they're not so good to catch. Their venomous spines can cause big problems for divers or fishermen.
So pretty, but painful. Let's move on to our weekly stroll through environmental history, Peter.
Sure. It was a new day back on October 5th, 2000, when the chairman of one of the big 3 auto companies, a scion of the Ford family itself, strode to the podium of a London business conference, a business conference organized by Greenpeace, and Greenpeace and big business agreed there.
Huh. I guess you're talking about Bill Ford?
The same, of the Ford Motor Company, Henry Ford's great-grandson. He told the gathering that climate change was a big deal, a game-changer, and that Ford would lead the way for the auto industry to clean up.
And did they?
Well, maybe yes, maybe no. That day, Bill Ford also announced that his company was quitting the Global Climate Coalition, that was the climate-denying club of the day. But that same year, Ford Motor launched the Excursion, its biggest, baddest SUV. It slurped a gallon of fuel for every 12 miles it drove. The Excursion won affectionate nicknames from environmentalists like the Ford Valdez and the Suburban Assault Vehicle.
And as I recall, the Excursion was big while it lasted, but it wasn't around for very long.
It was ginormous while it lasted, 19 feet long, weighing in at 4 tons, but the Ford Excursion was discontinued in 2005, and Ford Motor's track record has been all over the map ever since. Progress, even their lead SUV, the Expedition, can get up to 22 miles a gallon. They've got a line of hybrids and electric vehicles, maybe not as well marketed or successful as Toyota's Prius or the Chevy Volt, but according to a report by the advocacy group Forecast the Facts, Ford has also fueled climate denial groups to the tune of almost $800,000 in recent years. Bill Ford is still the executive chairman of Ford Motor, but they may have put a muffler on him.
Peter Dykstra is publisher of Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and thedailyclimate.org. Thanks for the update, Peter.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
Beep, 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 yeah.
And there's more on these stories at our website, loe.org.